company, he made sure that they would supply a free service to any future building on the site. And
doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
And also, Mr. DiSaprio has purchased a sewer allotment for quite a sum of money also.
Mm-hmm. Also doesn't surprise me.
So yes, we will be served by public sewer and public water.
Have you been in contact with the sewage authority?
Only just to provide them with the request for service, so we have not heard anything back.
I assume that the sewer is being purchased by a private entity and not from the sewer authority, am I correct?
That's correct.
You understand what I'm saying?
But it would be served by the sewer authority, so they'd have to be aware of it and approve it.
Correct.
Do you know how many gallons offhand?
I think it's right around 3,000 or 3,200 gallons, whatever the requirement is for the square footage of the building. So.
Hey.
Jeff, is there any pump stations required?
Yes, but it's going to have to be a pump, because if the force main in front of it, so we're going to have a pump into the force main.
Right, so the sewer authority would...
Yeah, there's going to be quite a bit of involvement in it, yeah.
Right.
We do have two manhole locations in front of the site where they have the blow-offs now, so that's where we'll access the main pump.
They're not engaged yet, I'm on the sewer authority.
I'm sorry?
Are you talking with any adjacent property owners about potentially both going in on a sewer pump station, or are you planning your own pump station?
No, it'll be a private one just for our facility, yes.
Have you had that discussion, though, with any adjacent property owners?
No. You may want to, is all we're saying.
The issue is that there's a number of sites on that side of Route 31 that will all, if each one has its own individual facility, will have to go under the highway, and it would seem to make more sense to get...
No, it's on our side of the highway.
What's that?
It's on our side of the highway.
The sewer infrastructure?
The force main is. I'm pretty sure that we opened those manholes up in there.
Hope you're right.
There's not the wiring.
It was under...
The Dr. Iron Force Bank.
It was under Don Halstead.
Either way,
it'll work.
We'll either be born under the highway or.
You should check it out, though, because you might, again.
I'm not at the sewage authority in
Virginia. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not speaking on behalf of the board or the township or anyone. I'm just saying it might, if it gets to the point where the board is inclined to grant this, it could save your client a bunch of money if he goes in with a bunch of other property owners on one pump station rather than everyone having their own pump station.
All right. I guess we probably should appear at the next sewage authority meeting on
Thursday.
Well, wouldn't the only one that would be the affordable project?
We are offline. You can...
I would say all properties would benefit that are on that side of the highway because they all have the same issue of having to connect across the highway.
Right, there might be some that would be more interested in doing this now rather than later.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that the property owner to the north of us, which is a competing...
Right, they might not be.
Yeah, I don't think they'd be inclined.
Well, they have a large septic. If you see all of these clean outs,
they were approved by this board.
So, we can continue to ask. I know the board's professionals had reports.
If you're going to have your own pump station, it's going to have to be shown on the plan, and then there's an ordinance which basically says that underground facilities, with only a few exceptions, have to comply with setbacks, and you might need a variance for that also. You should just check that out, because right now there's nothing shown on the plan. And for preliminary site plan, you don't have to prove permittability, but you have to prove feasibility. So you should do some homework on that, and if you were to...
Did you show the pump station on the plan?
Yeah, we do.
Where is it?
Which plan, Larry?
If you look at sheet 4, there's a small circular pump station just between the road and the handicap parking space.
Yeah, right in front of the 45-degree parking spaces.
Do you know how many
And that's what's setback outside the
site. From the property line, that is?
It's not within the 40-foot front yard setback, they're not in the setback.
Okay, so it's just a potential savings then?
Yeah, we would take it under advisement, certainly. So if board members, I think Mr. Simons has indicated that, you know, the comments raised by your board's professionals.
Could all be conditions of an approval.
Yeah,
that's what you said.
That's
right?
Exactly it.
Well,
but by the same token, if they want questions, they can certainly.
Sir, you said you were going to address 80% of what was in Larry's.
That's what I have done already.
Oh, okay. Are there any items in his report that you have a problem with?
No, it's just that there were time constraints. That's the reason we didn't try to do all of them.
Okay. Larry, do you have some specific questions or points you'd like to make?
Just that we didn't receive the plan. We did try to go through it to verify what comments were addressed, and I think that's accurate. For the most part, they addressed our comments. Some of the big ones that hang out there are stormwater related. There's a lot more soil testing that's going to be required, and this ties back into the existing on-site soils. There is a concern for sinkholes and karst landscape. I know Melvin been telling you the phase one before, and their recommendation was doing phase two. That would change, I think, some of the design approach. If the geotechs recommend avoiding recharge or infiltration, right now the DMP, my understanding is you've got porous pavement and you've got bioretention that's relying on infiltration. Again, I know this is preliminary, but it's something that when it comes around to final, we might see some changes in the approach to each sort of order.
Hey, Larry, did you have a copy of Matt Mulhall's email? It's actually dated today, 4:17 p.m.
It came out late in the afternoon, 4:17 p.m.
Do you have that?
Yeah, I just got that, yeah.
Okay.
I saw that. I mean, we also commented, I put a comment in there about the geological report indicating limestone that was encountered on site, and that the applicant provided testimony and concern for sinkholes.
What was that?
And just the fact that we thought this
was a good idea.
Yeah, knowing it's going there, they don't have to get into the mature design. But this is the type of thing that could alter the design approach and change the way they're going to approach compliance with stormwater. Other than that, I know we talked about guide rail. That wasn't my report. I think Tom brought that up. We mentioned putting guide rail along the retaining wall for vehicles just to be safe. We touched on the circulation element, considering the more of a regional circulation with the sidewalks. I know that the town has a commitment to ensure sidewalks down from the affordable housing down to Holstead. So it's in the benefit of the municipality to ensure we do get some set of sidewalks on site. Other than that, I think we talked a little bit more about that small sub-regional approach for sanitary collection and conveyance. I know that Mark McDonald also does the work with CPSA, so I can reach out with the engineers over there to see what their thoughts would be. The only consideration would be if you've got a pump station now that's receiving flow from multiple sites, it becomes more of a public facility, not necessarily a privately owned facility.
That's true.
Does that influence our approval in some way?
Not necessarily, because I defer it under my administrative policy section for final further detailed review of the application at time of final. I deferred for off-site sanitary, be subject to review and approval of CTSA. So I think I've got enough in my preliminary report to ensure we'll have a detailed review on final.
Okay.
Okay, and we are proceeding with the phase two carbonate rock.
This was not a surprise. I don't know. Not getting it was a surprise, but the contents of it, we have no objection. We had anticipated having to do this anyway.
Right, because it was all laid out in the Melitelli report, sort of the
yes,
same points.
Exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you, John.
Board members have any questions? We covered a lot of ground there, right? Landscape, lighting, engineering.
I do have one question.
Please go ahead.
On page 3 of Larry's report, item number 11. I guess I'm a little confused. It's 21.3 foot distance from proposing drive aisle. Has that been changed?
Yes.
I didn't understand why.
This drive aisle on the south side was it curved out a little further. We had parking diagonally in the building. And what we did was remove the parking, move the drive aisle, and now it's a reference to 3.
That was a part of the parking and drive aisle requirements. There was a minimum setback from the property line.
Now it's 26.
That was 25 feet, and the aisle was within that 25 feet.
So now 26 feet.
Yeah. Did you hear that? Now it's 26 foot, so that's really not an issue.
Yeah, we've got that crossed off. I have a kind of markup, an internal markup we did of the report, number 1 that's been issued, and that was crossed off our list.
Okay. Thank you.
From an impact on the lighting perspective, what type of landscaping are you looking at on the south and primarily the east that would impact residential areas?
Actually, on the south, we have a pretty good stand of existing pine trees that don't show up very well. But they're a lot bigger than them. They show on the plant. They're pretty substantial. So that part is pretty substantially screened. So, and again, as we move the roadway away and the detention basin, the fire retention basin away, that gives us, I would say, from 10 to 40 to 50 feet more area to landscape between the adjoining properties and our site.
Is that going to be sufficient to block any light overflow to the residents?
They're
quite a ways away.
Right, and we're going to move the lights from here since we no longer need to brightly light those parking areas. We just need to light the walkway coming down here, and we'll do that with following lighting, which is a 3 foot. And we'll take those poles out entirely, so that'll stop that. And they're also providing quite a fair amount of landscaping themselves along our property line, so that'll also minimize the impact.
On the township's tree replacement ordinance, and conservatively, what are we looking at in terms of the number of trees?
Depending on the size, we could probably anywhere from 100 to 200 trees we're going to have to plant.
And my point is then you could locate, and perhaps with Jim's assistance, putting a lot of those trees over there to provide or enhance that existing buffer area, correct?
Yes, and quite honestly, what I'm going to propose to our landscape architect, that he meets directly with Jim. And they can resolve this, I think, much easier that way. They go back and forth. So,
well, the tree replacements can't count as a buffer,
right?
You can add them to the buffer area.
We just have to replace them. That's in addition to the buffer trees.
Yeah.
You also mentioned that you've eliminated loading docks, or you're not going to have loading docks.
I asked that. It's not just loading docks. There's no loading spaces, and I know that Tom has a bunch of questions he wants to ask him about.
Oh, the chance, sir.
Well, if we're there, one question pertains to medical waste. That, you know, typically for these types of uses, there's regular pickup of those. And
there'll be van size. My understanding from St. Luke's is they really don't have anything larger than the van or the.
How about FedEx trucks?
FedEx.
So they're going to pull into parking spaces or just pull in the front of the building?
Just like they do everybody else. Most of the time they park out on the road and carry this stuff in.
But they can't. This is Route 31.
I understand it.
Right, that's why we're asking.
Yeah, but we have sufficient parking spaces that at times FedEx can come in and park in the parking space and deliver. So.
Which they probably won't do anyway. They'll just stop in front of the building and do it.
That's why our planner is recommending that they have a loading and unloading space, a designated space, so they don't do that.
The problem is your ordinance says we have to have it to the rear. You can't have a loading space in the front, right? So
Well, how many fronts do you have?
Well, we have three entrances.
Right. But one front.
Right.
One drop-off. But
maybe you could pick one that complies with the ordinance and not have the issue of having these deliveries. That's what Tom's coming from.
I don't think we're ever going to be able to force FedEx and all those to go back to the load space and park. They're going to pull out there under the awning as quick as they can get in the building and out. That's what
that's not an acceptable answer. I'm just telling you.
I think that's
if you want to put a spot down and have it there that nobody will use, that's fine.
If there's an approval, there's going to be a condition that it's going to have to be used, or you're going to end up having a zoning enforcement issue. I know the zoning officer
is going to be sitting in a tree looking to see if the Amazon guy doesn't go in. That's the reality of it.
If you don't have a spot, they're never going to use it.
Right.
Well, that's what I said.
Have one, at least you have the opportunity that they're going to use it, and you can have a postman having a sign there that says that they need to use it.
That's fine. We don't
need a full.
It's just be a regular parking spot.
Or a double parking
spot.
I guess, whatever would accommodate if that X truck or the UPS truck. Yeah, I don't think you need to accommodate a tractor trailer, but I think the board's concerns are legitimate.
Oh, and I don't mean to make light of it. I'm just saying that they'll
like
never.
You are, though.
But no, I'm just saying the reality of it is they don't. Like, you know, we have the problem in my office building. They park right in front. Clients can't get in.
They sit in the aisleway and they run the stuff in and they
put it back.
Maybe it's different depending on where you are. 80 Main Street in West Orange, don't do that. The police department's across the street, and if they see something like that, they call over, and a patrol car comes over and gives the guy a ticket because they have Title 39 enforcement. I'm just telling you, it's way to handle it.
That's, you know.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. Where, because you have three entrances...
I would suggest
just put it in the front.
Put it in the front. We have room out there.
Propose something to.
No, I think we as probably most like where they're most likely to use it if you put it in the front. So, yeah, that's right.
Maybe you need a variance to put it in the front, but maybe that makes
sense. No, I think we. I don't think we need a variance. We do because it has to be in the back.
Right, Tom.
But whatever relief you need,
to be honest, I don't know.
Whatever relief you need for it,
that's fine.
You have a good reason. For the relief, if it increases the chances that it's going to be used, and these delivery places don't take over your parking and your aisles,
that's fine.
And maybe cause a safety hazard.
Right, correct.
Okay, point made. Let's move on. So, do you have any questions?
I think the only question I had is the difference in the parking demand for an emergency center, a MediVerge, or urgent center versus an appointment. Somebody using an urgent center might be there all day long versus somebody taking an appointment has got this time slot and this time slot. So the parking numbers, is there any difference in that requirement? Is there any?
That's a good question. Not that I understand. This is for, we've sized it for medical offices. So.
That's what I'm saying is that it's.
I don't think you.
I know there's two separate uses, primary uses listed, and one is ambulatory and one is medical office. And I, again, that was my question because you could have 35, 40 cars parked there all day long. I don't know if any thought was given to that or any thought needs to be given to that.
The ambulatory care, I mean, it's just kind of a unique use because the ambulatory care, I think our planner will testify, is a permitted use by itself. We gave the, let's assume it's 60, was what Mr. DeSapio said. That's over a 12-hour period. The chances of all 60 people being there at one time is probably remote. And I think, Mr. DeSapio, you had some information on the appointment only, because I know one of the board...
Definitely.
Come forward. So, to the question of other patients coming in and out of there on a regular Monday through Friday.
Urgent care, the estimate is about 30 to 35 patients a day. The total combined for the other would, he said, definitely less than the 30 to 35 per day.
So the ortho, the yes. lab, that would be another, if it's less than 35, let's say it is 35.
I thought it was 30 to 45 people per day for urgent care.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay,
yeah.
So correct. You're saying that there could be up to another 30 people per day for all the other uses combined?
Yes.
Correct.
There would only be 30 equipment slots per day?
He said it would definitely be less than the urgent care. Because that's where most of the traffic is.
Because understanding, if we really want to get down to it, I mean, like, Mr. DeSapa, come forward. I mean, those other disciplines, besides, forgetting the urgent care, they're not open from 7 a.m.
No.
to 8 p.m.
No.
Either. Right. So.
It's by appointment, and so they're staggered throughout the day.
Okay. So I don't know if that helps, but yeah. That's.
I must have missed something. When you guys went over St. Luke's groups that are going to be located here, I didn't write down ambulatory care.
Well, that's the urgent care.
Ambulatory care is not urgent care.
All right. Well, then I apologize. But yeah, so it's
ambulatory
it's,
care. Tom, what's the definition of ambulatory?
Well, there was a question as to whether or not the urgent care should have a different parking standard than the regular medical office use. It so happens that the township has a definition of ambulatory care. So the question would be, does the urgent care facility qualify as an ambulatory care facility or not? And that's,
Could you say the question again, please?
So there's a question as to whether or not there should be a separate parking standard for the urgent care facility. And so when you refer to the township's parking standards, there are separate requirements for medical office uses, which obviously is a component of this is for sure.
Right.
And there's also the ambulatory care facility, which has a different, a higher parking standard. Right. So the question is, which use category does the urgent care does somebody fall under? Is it a medical office, or does it fall under the ambulatory care? And again, there's a definition that talks about what an ambulatory care facility is. I'm reviewing that now. I'm not sure I have that.
Okay, so what Tom is telling me, and what their planner is telling me, which they'll be telling you shortly, is they believe urgent care is ambulatory care. So the issue is if there are separate parking requirements for ambulatory care, and they're both looking to see if there is.
That's how you calculated the numbers.
There's one space for every 150 square feet of medical office, and then ambulatory care is two for each recovery bed or treatment room, whichever for each employee on the shift with the greatest number.
Now that suggests, you know, there's no beds here. You know, so it's just their examples.
Yeah. So have you done a calculation using these?
No, I used the medical offices, and I think when I did it, that was the most conservative. But I definitely.
Well, I just check so when you come back. I don't think I'm going to hit all your witnesses tonight in any of that. Why don't you do the calculation both ways?
Okay.
Tom Behrens. You said there's a definition for ambulatory care?
Yes, there is.
I don't see it in our definitions. Is it here and I'm not seeing it?
165-4. Yes, 165-4. Ambulatory care facility.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Yeah, he said he's going to come back with a calculation looking at it both ways.
Because we have to back that square footage for that out and do it.
It was a good question. Right. A very good question. Whoever asked that.
Cindy.
I don't know if anybody has any more questions for Mr. Simon.
Sir, do you have any questions you'd like? And if so, come on up forward and identify yourself. this would be a great time. They covered a lot of ground. So
I appreciate it because I don't have too much experience with this.
Yeah, no, have a seat.
Yeah, it's Mike Amberger.
And how do you spell your last name?
Amberger.
And what is your address?
39 River Bend Road.
Okay, so this is questions only at this point.
What's that?
This is questions only at this point. You ask as many questions you want. If you want to make statements, there will be a later time for that.
Sure. Basically, my primary focus is just the lighting.
To the applicant. Good. Ask him.
So my primary focus, and I don't mean to be a pain, but...
Now, you're no pain.
No, this is why you're here.
Yeah.
Right ahead and ask whatever you want.
Right. No one's a pain who comes to ask questions.
And this would seem to be an easy fix if it's not already incorporated, but there's several houses on the river that are just east of the proposed area, and it's a pretty pristine hillside with woods and whatnot, not too much lighting, and there's going to be a lot of building going on that hill, including this. So whatever can be done to angle that lighting away from those houses, whether it be angled lighting or incorporating evergreens or something like that in the light post.
We are screening the rear of the lot also, and we're also leaving a lot of the large trees.
Mm-hmm.
That are right along the property line. We're not touching them. So,
yeah.
And again, there's some large trees on the adjoining property too that obviously we won't touch.
Ask Larry if he can hear what this witness is saying.
Larry, are you hearing this?
Yeah, the discussion is for lighting and okay. Trying to make it directed downwards to avoid the glare from across the river.
Yes, River Bend Road. That's correct.
No, I didn't have any issues with them with anything really. So it's just
keep on going. Talk to you guys nice and loud.
Okay. I mean, we'll take another look at the lighting, see if we can reduce it some in the back. We still have to meet certain standards, but again, we can add our trees in the back too.
Yeah, if you can just it's no difference to you if you can strategically right. place
no,
those behind the lights
of
instead of yeah, because a lot of the trees it looks like there's a lot of trees between the river. In your property, but I believe a lot of those are ash trees that are now dead, so they don't have leaves or anything on them anymore, so it's kind of a barren, to an extent, a little bit more barren than if you looked at an aerial photograph.
Okay.
So did he point out on his key map function where you are?
This is Route 31, where we are, and just all that housing thing.
Yeah, so unfortunately, we're right behind this and the new housing.
Okay.
So I'm right here.
So you're on the east side of the river, looks like?
I am on the east side of the river.
Okay. Elevation-wise?
I'm lower than this is. We're right on the river, and then this is up on the hill.
Yeah, he's at least 40, 50 feet.
40, 50 feet.
Lower than that side, I would say.
Is there any trees can be pushed?
That's why you have to
be up by us.
On the hill, and you're going to have it on a hill and then on a post, so it's going to be whatever it is, 60 or 70 feet above where we are. And then again, not that this has any bearing, but we're already going to be dealing with this building. And now we've got this, and then I heard there's some potential talks about this. So at a certain point, it's going to look like Times Square, which is exactly why we moved out here to avoid that. So.
And we can lower, we can move the lights back a little bit and lower them some to maybe a 10-foot height. Mm-hmm. That'll help.
So that's really my only concern.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
Any other questions? Or?
No, that was it. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you.
Anyone else have any questions for Mr. Simmons? Okay.
All right.
You want to go one more witness?
Yeah, we'll, Marcus, we'll go into architecture.
Before you start in with your testimony, background, experience, licenses.
Yeah, so Bachelor of Architecture degree from Ball State University, licensed architect in the state of New Jersey for the past 24 years, and now owner of SSB Architects. Testified in front of planning boards and zoning boards throughout the state, everywhere from Washington, I think, here for the planning board, Flemington, Somerville, Bridgewater, a number of other places.
And your license is current?
Current license, yes.
I don't have anything further.
Okay, any questions? No?
All right. Why don't we get right into it? What's proposed and
Yeah, I'll speak to some of the uses within the spaces within the building as well. So
what you have is the floor plan. Route 31 is across the top of the page, with the first floor on the left, second floor on the right, main entrance. And as far as the uses are concerned, on the north side of the first floor.
Let's make sure that what you're showing is what's in the board's
Yes,
file.
The floor plan that you see is exactly as you have that was submitted.
Okay, so that's dated November 17, 2022. And it consists of sheet A01, A02.
And I have A02 here just in case as well.
Great.
I will probably be referencing some color renderings.
Okay, so that's going to be...
That will be A1.
This will be new. Yeah. A4.
Yeah, can you put it down in the little right-hand corner? Right.
Would you get the A1?
Oh, you know what? I'm on the other case. A1.
All right. So, and that's a colored rendering. And that doesn't correspond to any of the architectural plans that have been submitted thus far, correct?
It's not a colored version of the plan you submitted. It's
yeah.
a color rendering, correct? It's a color rendering representing the elevations
of the building.
Of the building, yes,
yeah.
As they were submitted, yes. So this is a different version, colored, three-dimensional view of the elevations. Yes.
Wow.
So on the first floor plan, again, Route 31 across the top, right side of the first floor, north end, closest to the parking lot, is basically open space for physical therapy. That entire side is reserved for physical therapy, mostly open space for all the workout equipment.
Okay, so you know what? Hopefully, do you have something you're going to hand out that will show this?
This is very small right now, but we can...
Okay, why don't we, after you testify, let's get that marked as an exhibit and then ask Mike...
And understanding it's preliminary, the interior could change.
The reason it hasn't been submitted is because we're still working through a lot of it.
Right.
But you essentially have physical therapy on this side. On the left south side of the first floor is reserved for the primary care area. And then there's a small area close to the entrance that's reserved for the laboratory, basically blood, draw and other collective specimens and some testing. On the second floor, again, the side closest to the parking lot is what we have reserved as what they call care now. That's the urgent care that we've been discussing, as well as some staff and break areas. And then on the south side of the second floor, that's what we have reserved as orthopedics. And there's a small area within orthopedics that's reserved what they call brown bag. It's a few small exam rooms that are reserved for rotating doctors. They have a doctor that comes in twice a week. That's where he might be located.
Just a quick question. Why would they have urgent care on the second floor and not on the first floor?
That was discussed quite extensively with them. I think it comes to a little bit more to how they want to serve their clients, but that's what... We had it on the first floor originally, but as we were going through the plan.
Someone had with a broken leg. Instead of going on the first floor.
Elevator, yeah.
Okay, whatever.
All right, I understand.
But you got PT on the first floor.
Correct.
That's where it belongs.
And I think that may be the problem because those are the two biggest areas, and to try to get them both on the same floor.
I mean, there. At one point, there was this. Not to get into the weeds with it, but there was a point where the urgent care and the ortho were going to try to share a radiology because there are X-ray rooms there. So, because they're looking to share now, right now it looks like there might be two separate ones. But having radiology together, that's okay. Part of what drives it upstairs as well. A lot of factors come into play, as you can imagine. So that's what's going into the building in terms of uses.
And where would it be on the first floor? Where are the entrances again?
So this is the main entrance, again, along Route 31. This is the area that has the pull-up, the driveway and mm-hmm. the drop-off area. There's another entrance in the back. Now, we keep talking about three entrances, but the door that's over here on the parking lot side coming out of physical therapy is really more of an exit. It's not really intended to be a place where patients are coming in. They do want to try to encourage people to come in the front door, go through registration, and get into physical therapy that way. But it's so it's intended more as an exit, though, you know, in different situations, it could easily be used as an entrance as well.
But, okay.
Yep. So then I know there are a number of questions about the building height. I'll put this one up here for now. But the building
height. So this is A1.
This is Exhibit A1, yeah. So between these two, the overall building height, you know, what we're trying to do with the overall building, instead of it being just a box, is really try to kind of follow the guidelines that have been established in terms of a building design and create some wall and roof articulations, right? Get that rural feeling, get the using the materials that represent kind of the feel of Clinton. So we have stone, we have brick, we have, you know, hardy siding. It's more of a cementitious, but it represents that wood siding, right? Asphalt shingles, metal roof, all those things that comply with the ordinance in terms of design standards. But we also didn't want to have just one single overall roof height. And because the floor-to-floor height gets us pretty close to that 35-foot limit as it is, and it really gets us to 30 feet just to there, we needed to have some height to get a substantial roof on there, one, so it's properly proportioned to the rest of the building, two, so it screens the mechanical units, and then three, complies with the design standards that say you have to have a 9-on-12 roof pitch. So all those things came into play in terms of establishing that height. Now, the bulk of the roof, the lower sections that you see, all fall within the 35 feet. This entrance piece is set at 35 feet. It's these other peak areas that really go above that 35 feet, or right around 40 feet for the peak of those high points. And
cool. Yeah, question for you. Presumably you're going to end up making the argument that this looks better than a complying roof.
Correct.
Can you show us, assuming we don't finish tonight, which I don't think we will, could you do a rendering that would show us what a complying roof would look like? It's easy to make a comparison if you see them side by side. It's easy to say, oh, yeah, that one looks better. It's harder to make that determination when I don't see what I'm comparing this to.
We can do that.
Thank you.
Can I ask you a question? You referenced the maximum roof height of 40 feet. So I believe the elevations show 44.6.
That was from the time that was originally submitted, and seeing the original comments about the building height, we were able to lower it so that the peak is actually 40.1 feet above grade, above the average grades.
Is that represented in the elevations or the rendering?
Both.
Oh, yeah, there was revised architectural.
This is the revised. Yeah. That was recently this.
Where's the mechanical section?
The mechanical sections would be behind this section of the roof. So, yeah.
That's center area, basically.
The center area, correct.
Okay. Not in the peak area, then.
Not in the peak area, correct. So, just briefly looking at the plan, you know, the peak areas would be here and here. The mechanical units would be centered around the floor.
Okay, so just for the record, so if the peaks are 41
is what we've calculated.
41
grade, yes.
Five divided by 41 comes out to a little over 14% or 15%. That's why you need the D6
yes.
variance. Mm-hmm. It's exceeding the maximum 35 feet by more than
10%.
Got it.
And since you build something, revisions or reconsideration, what would be the percentage of the area of the roof that was over?
Yeah, we calculate that between 25 and 30%.
So you're only looking at 25 to 30% of the site for building.
And Marcus, we did try to do something that was conforming, correct?
Yes, we did.
And that's what the chairman wants to see.
Yeah, that's what he wants to see. We were happy with it from an aesthetic standpoint.
Right. But yeah, but we've done some, so we could certainly present it to you, and you guys can, I mean, hopefully draw the same conclusions that we did. It's just.
And with your floor plan that we talked before about it, go over area, whatever, where would the hazardous material, waste material be stored in the building? What doorway?
You mean for pickup, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's actually located towards the back entrance. We have an area, building storage, hazardous storage. This is actually what it's intended to be. So collected there and then shipped out.
It would be in the back, so if any place, it might be best to have this pull-out area that we're talking about, delivery or pickup in the back.
There could be two. There could be one area for the hazardous and one area. Remember, your decision, not ours. But if you're trying to make an incentive or make it easier to have pickups and deliveries take place in a certain area, they might be right. The front might be better for that, but for the hazardous, maybe you want another one in the back.
Those guys also aren't running in and running out. There's more protocol. So I think there would be
space, but
yeah.
Have Jim Kyle shoot up so we can testify about it. They're planners.
Shoot
up.
Oh.
I'll shoot up.
That's what he was afraid I said.
All right, we don't have anything further on this. Obviously, Marcus will be back to present a conforming plan. So,
just to clarify, not that it's a big deal, but the elevation views on the architecturals have an elevation of 39 feet 10 inches for the ridge.
Yeah, that was calculated based on finished floor. So once we take, you know, the true definition of building height based on the average of the grade around the building, that's what gets us to the 40.1. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Larry, they recalculated. They realized they had made a mistake.
Well,
there's another way.
It's still 39.10 for the finished floor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Depends on how you calculate it.
Any questions?
Yeah, but if you're talking elevation, not height, so that really shouldn't change.
Point noted, Larry. Thank you. Questions? Professionals? Sir, any questions? No?
Just two quick questions. There's obviously no basement in this building.
Correct.
And the final site plan application on the roof plan showing the cabinet.
Okay, roof plan, yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, they're all set.
So this application, this hearing has to be carried. Now, how much time do you guys need to get all the information together that the board wants? Because you just heard there's an open meeting in December with no one.
Yeah, we'll be.
There's an application. We may make it to December, but that's not.
Yeah, we'll be able to. You need it by the 9th, before December 9th?
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't.
Well, hold on. Just December 19th, the board will have to. They have a 20-day rule. So you're going to ask the board to waive the 20-day rule.
Gonna, yeah.
And make, you know, the MLUL 10-day rule. The board's rule is 20 days before the hearing, so that the board professionals have a, you know, a shot at getting you reports rather than on the last day.
How many more you've got?
We should have
Kyle.
And we probably bring Mr. Simons back to talk about the loading areas that we'd show on the plans.
Okay.
And then Marcus would have to come back to show a conforming architectural plan. And then it would be Mr. Kyle. So
three.
Yeah, three. The first two would be relatively short, I would imagine. And then Mr. Kyle would be at least 20 to 30 minutes. So
on direct.
On direct.
not on cross.
But it figure an hour, maybe 90 minutes?
We'll put it this way. What's the other application that might be ready for December 19th? Is it a residential?
No. Yes. Isn't it?
No.
No,
okay.
It's not.
So you guys know something that we don't know.
Well, Jim's involved in the other one.
Jim is the planner for that application as well.
Who is it? Which one is it?
It's a proposed.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
No.
Well, but are they complete?
No, but they're trying to be.
I understand, but this is a pending application.
Yeah, they have first bite of the apple.
Well, yeah, they would be on first, but they may not be the other.
Yeah, and
it doesn't matter whether they would or not. But, I mean, whether or not they would be on
first. Right, this should, in my opinion, this should be continued December 19th without the need for further notice. They should be first on the agenda, and then the other applicant can make a decision if they want to hang around and see if they
can. Yeah, like we did tonight. I mean, we waited an hour and a half or so.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll take any longer than that, honestly.
Well, I wouldn't even say
No one has
are you
ever come
in first on Hanukkah?
Yeah. In the predicted time. No one has ever come in under the predicted time. Not once in 20 years.
Yeah, that's tough to say that.
Never once. Yeah. Before we go, can we ask, the board members have questions?
I have one other thing. We talked about the parking. I thought I missed something with the parking, so I looked back at the plan, and it's being calculated as professional office, and then the plan itself on the site plan is called it a proposed office. The architectural plan is called tenant space. The title block calls it tenant office building. So I think it was reviewed, the parking, assuming it was an office. I mean, that's what we heard testimony from the applicant. Even the application, I looked at the application form, and I think we had...
Hey, Larry? You may have missed that. We asked them to go back and take a look, including the fact that some of this is ambulatory care. So they're going to go back and redo the calculations based on the square footage that will fall into each use. So I think they've got that point.
I think the engineer said that he calculated it with medical, and we're going to do a cross comparison. I think it's not. I think it was calculated with professional office.
Okay.
He doesn't even think it was calculated with medical office? Is that what he's saying?
Yes, yeah, so he thinks it was calculated as general office. Is that correct, Larry?
Yeah.
Not even medical.
It's 4.5 space per 1,000 square feet, which is professional office.
What does medical call for?
One per 150 square feet.
All right. I got to go back and take another look.
That's all I'm saying. It's going to be, we have to kind of take another look at it from the engineering perspective of what it's going to do. For some of the layouts and the impervious coverage and the increased parking.
Okay.
I just want to put that out there. I mean,
that's fine. Yeah, we have. Yeah. What it may come down to is looking at the disciplines we talked about and almost giving you a calculation on
for each discipline.
Each discipline. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you have something for lab, but the lab is not very big, and usually you don't have five people waiting to give blood at the same time. So,
okay.
But we'll do that calculation for you. That's not fun.
Okay. Any questions for them next time? I have a couple for next time.
Go ahead.
So for Mr. Kyle, they're asking some questions about the justification for floor area ratio. How come you can't meet the floor area ratio requirement? And sign, looking for more signs on the face of the building, what will the justification for that be? Why not just meet the sign ordinance? I'm not asking you to testify now. I'm just saying when you come next time, I don't want to get you started because it's...
No. I just want to say one thing. We're actually going to defer the sign package to final because what you see on the plans now is not the actual sign package.
So don't be surprised. Let's say if the board got to that point of being inclined to grant this, they might very well impose a condition that the signs have to comply with the ordinance if you're going to take that position, if you push it off the final. Because generally, it's one thing to bifurcate the D variance.
Right.
But it's another thing to, you get vested rights in the preliminary.
Right.
And they're going to, if you don't come in and show your cards on that and put that off for final, you might get a condition with an approval where you can't get any variances. I'm just putting it out there.
Okay, well, I'm glad I raised it then, because it might be that we try to get the sign package straightened out and submit it so that you can see what it is.
Yeah, they have a couple
my ears, they have a couple pet peeves. Lighting, you're hitting them all.
Lighting, oh, I know what they are. Signs. John, I know what they are.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we eliminated the monument sign when it was raised. But we'll address the sign.
Okay, yeah. Good. I'm glad I brought it up. Okay.
Anything else?
Yeah. So the hearing on this application is going to be continued to December 19th. At 7 p.m. this room, and we're going to ask, just in case we need it, to get an extension of the time to January 31st.
That's fine.
Okay, and Larry, you have anything else?
No, I'm surprised no one asked what happened to me.
I want to know, Larry.
All right.
They thought it was COVID.
Now they're raising their hands. Go ahead, Larry.
One more thing.
If you remember, I was broken leg, surgery played through the whole nine yards. John was done about from bicycle accident, went down, bone pretty much, not even out of the skin, but pretty much there. I cannot drive with the right foot. I can't do anything for 8 or 9 weeks.
So you're going to be virtual in December also?
Oh, yeah.
Same thing we're doing right now. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Probably January 10th.
And John, did you?
My suggestion is we have a member of the public out there. If you have any questions that you're still thinking about that you want to tell them about, they could prepare an answer for you before December 19th.
Okay. All right. Larry, we're signing off. Take care.
All right. Thank you, guys. We'll see you on the 19th.
Yep.
Good night.
Thanks for using WebEx. Go to our website at
www.stops automatically when I shut. Yeah, because we don't have any hearings going on now, right? Do we record anyway?
Pick them off.
I should have kept it going. Huh? Okay, does anyone else have anything?
This is back on. It's been recording since 9:13. Why it wouldn't be?
Okay, so that's good because other board members will be here for December and listen to the recording. But if David Pfeffer comes in December. Okay, what else? Anything else for the good of the cause? Okay. If you could just give us a second, we're not, excuse me, sir, we're not adjourned yet. But if you want to check going out in the hall, please. And
stick around after the meeting. After me.
I appreciate it.
Okay, Tom, you guys got anything? No? No? Okay. I'm just going to point out that you guys all know. December is my last meeting on the Board of Adjustment. So after 20 years, I'm going over to the planning board. So
you guys have to start to think at the reorg meeting, someone's going to have to step up to the plate to want to be the chair, and someone's going to have to step up to the plate to want to be the vice chair. And I always recommend getting a chair pro temp. So you three of you, you guys have to start talking about that, thinking about that. And then talk to Tom about it.
I'm not a voting member.
Maybe you'll let him go.
Well, yeah, sure.
Well, not only Tom saying goodbye, I'm returning home, so. Oh,
wow.
And
I,
for various reasons. So, Tom goodbye, Denise goodbye.
Yeah. You're not coming to the planning board.
No, I'm not.
You're going on to other stuff.
I might sit out there laughing occasionally.
So, every time we just stumble forward, how long did it take us to get a ninth member?
That's a lot of experience over here.
Well, yes. Yes.
Maybe Michael joined the board.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
One of these.
Yeah, oh, so it's been long enough for me. It's 20 years. I think that's a...
Does the mayor know about
what
you get, Tom?
Yes, he does. He does know. Yeah, he and I talk.
Well, that's turn the meeting from happy to sad.
I'll look it up for you. I'll look it up and I'll call you.
You are planning to stay with someone. Oh, God. I'll stay.
Okay, good.
Oh, please.
I'll tell you right now. A member. Sharon, where is yours? Yours ends, your four-year blocks ends at the end of 22. So, yeah, right. Okay, motion.
Who's asking you? No, please ask to be re-upped.
The motion to adjourn?
Motion.
And a second. All in favor?
The motion to adjourn. Okay.
Done.
Very good. I like it.
Okay.
So you know what their calculation was based on there.
Oh, did you do it yourself?
Well, I just went through and made my own notes.
Yeah.
Their calculation was based on which was the regular
office. That's what he said. Yeah. So what if you do your calculation? What would it end up being?
I didn't do the calculation. I was just thinking because I was questioning. That was my question. You have two different uses. To me, that's two different uses.
Yeah.